Okay, it is 6 o'clock, so we will call our meeting to order and welcome everyone this evening. Our first item of business is the approval of the agenda for November 26, 2025.
I move we adopt.
And we do have, and it's on our updated agenda sheet already, so that's wonderful. I was just going to say we did have one item that needed to be added, and Nicole has already taken care of that for us. So thank you, Councillor Richardson. Moving.
Second it.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Next item is the acceptance of the minutes, excuse me, of November 12th, 2025. Are there any changes required to these minutes? Hearing none, we will accept them as received, as presented. Next item is business arising from the minutes. Are there any items to come before council this evening?
I have
Deputy Warden.
I have one tonight. I'm just wondering if there's been an update from Department of Public Works on the crosswalk at the top of Woodlawn Drive going into the town that we had discussed. We were waiting for some correspondence back from Public Works.
Okay, thank you, CAO.
You're testing my memory here, but the last time I believe that we got correspondence back from them, that they said that it did not correspond to their protocols and rules.
And I just want to add that the reason I brought it forward is today, I was leaving the building here today. There was a young man walking across the crosswalk and how the car didn't hit him. It went out around him on my side of the road. So it's becoming very apparent that there's something safety going on. So I'm not sure if we can follow back up or something. I don't know. But I was just concerned of what I seen today.
Yeah. Okay. CAO and then Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
We can certainly follow up with another letter to them and let them know that these close calls are continuing.
Yeah, perhaps including that example as well, because it definitely is a safety issue there. Councillor Thornton Irvine?
To just add as well, I had mentioned it after that first mention with Public Works. If there's ever any more development in this area, it'll be critical that there is some. So we can be proactive in that
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Warden, for bringing that up. Anything else for business arising? Okay, we'll move on to presentation, strategic plan version 2, and we have Ilsa and Grace with us again this evening. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you, Warden.
And of course, we know everyone around the council table by now, so we'll get right into your presentation. The floor is yours.
Sounds good. Will we be able to share our screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. Grace, would you like to bring up the presentation?
Yes, I think as soon as Nicole's screen isn't sharing, I'll be able to.
So while you bring that up, I would like to thank all of you in council, as well as all the residents who have submitted feedback after our session on October 29th. What you'll see tonight is a second version, which is hopefully close to final for our strategic plan that incorporates those comments. So tonight we will take some time to walk you really through that feedback we have received. And then from there, we will dive into the strategic plan and highlight kind of the changes that have been made.
Great. Thank you.
Apologies, it's just having some tech issues with trying to share my screen. Okay. Okay, let's try to see if this works.
Here we are.
Hey.
Great. All right, so this is our agenda for this portion. So we'll start with an introduction, session objectives, then play back what we heard in terms of feedback both from council as well as the residents. At a high level, we'll go over the changes that were made, and then we'll actually flip over out of this slide deck into the PDF, which we're hoping to share with you, and just really highlight the areas in which there have been changes. We would then like to head into a brief council discussion, and before we close out, we'd like to discuss next steps so we all can know what to expect from this and on which timelines. So that's what we have planned for tonight. In terms of our objectives for tonight, we will review the key themes from the feedback we received to really start to create a shared understanding of what we heard across council, staff, and partners. We feel it's really important that we get to that shared understanding before kind of like diving into the actual changes that were incorporated. So we will talk a bit about that rationale behind those decisions, what changed, what stayed the same. And then we'll move into the final draft of the strategic plan so you can see how that all came together. And then our final objective is really to have this discussion with all of you together. Any final questions, clarifications, or any input you'd like to provide before we finalize the strategic plan, which will be an important milestone.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just going to kick us off with the feedback overview. And so by the numbers, we had 25 complete resident responses and 6 responses from council. I will just note that here it says 25 out of 97 total for the resident responses. This number is compiled of even if someone didn't hit submit, but they did answer all of the questions, we recorded that as complete as long as they did answer the questions. But if they just started it and didn't finish, that wasn't considered a complete step. So following the presentation of the first draft strategic plan on October 29th, residents and council members were invited to provide feedback through an online survey, and that remained open until November 10th. One positive thing is that the feedback across both groups, council and residents, was very highly aligned and demonstrated shared priorities and a common vision for the community's future. Both residents and council emphasized that the importance of a plan that is clear, actionable, and represents local needs. So across these five inputs, these big five consistent themes emerged, and one was feedback about wanting the plan to be more actionable and measurable, and seeing more clear steps and examples, as well as accountability in that. Another was to improve clarity and building public trust to show how the input actually shaped the plan, doing justice to the feedback that we did receive. Another was to strengthen and broaden engagement processes to ensure resident voices are captured and reflected, as well as to ground the plan in the local reality with that really tangible community level action and local relevance through visuals and examples. And then there was an emphasis on collective implementation, and that would be supported by partnerships across municipalities, community organizations, other levels of government, like provincial and federal as well. So this is a bit repetitive from the slide I just went over, but this table just outlines kind of the shared themes and how those were collected based on what we heard from residents and council perspectives. And so when I say make the plan more actionable and measurable, we heard from residents for more concrete, measurable steps. Accountability was big. And then from council, we heard like the inclusion of timelines, project examples were called out, and operational details to make it actionable. Along the point of improving clarity and public trust, residents shared that they wanted to see more transparency and clarity on how their input that they've been providing through the community engagements in this feedback opportunity shaped the priorities that were highlighted. And council similarly highlighted the importance of regularly informing residents about the goals and outcomes, as well as progress across the pillars that are outlined in the strategic plan. There was a shared theme that engagement processes need expansion. Residents felt underrepresented and excluded. And we heard the same thing with council, where they requested more feedback from residents and the importance of capturing everything we heard in the What We Heard report, and importance of just continuing to engage as we continue with this process. Keeping the plan grounded in local realities, we heard from residents highlighting, you know, the need for local infrastructure, housing, healthcare, and other community well-being priorities. And then similarly, maybe with different examples, but the same intent, with council emphasizing tangible quality of life actions and use of local visuals and examples in the report. There was also a collective implementation focus as a shared theme, and we heard from residents that they want joint work and services with the different towns and municipalities. And this was also stressed from the council about partnerships with all those different layers that build our community, like the municipality, provincial government, community organizations. Okay, so I'm firstly going to cover some resident feedback, and then we're going to go into council feedback. But to kick us off, we had 25 out of 97 respondents completed the survey. When asked, where do you reside? We saw the highest uptake in District 1 and District 5, and then following that, neighboring towns and municipalities. And so the neighboring towns made up about 20%, District 1 made up about 32%, and District 5 made up about 24%. Obviously, those numbers are relevant to having only 25% responses. With that, though, the feedback that we received for what is liked about the plan or how well it reflects what's important for the community, residents tended to share that the plan somewhat or slightly reflects their priorities for the community, and shared the following strengths. So that they appreciated that the plan recognized and addressed the needs of all communities across the municipality. Participants noted that they valued the plan's focus on inclusion, transparency, and reducing racism. Residents said that they liked the emphasis on strengthening investing in healthcare. Respondents appreciated the plan's focus on economic growth, including more jobs, housing, and support for local economies. They also said that they like seeing investment in experiences and community events and not just services. There were some positive comments about the layout, the vision, clarity of the plan, and noting that it reflected the community consultation. They also appreciated that the plan incorporated or aligned with existing plans, such as like the climate action plan that already exists and could see that represented. A few shared that they valued the focus on safe activities and quality of life, including environmental resilience. One person specifically called out that they appreciated the governance section and the need for regaining trust and building that. There was also several respondents that expressed, as part of this specific question about what do you like, they expressed just neutral or negative views, indicating that nothing stood out, that the plan felt wishful rather than practical, without substantial information. And so the next two slides are going to go over some of that more constructive feedback. But as this was one of the answers to this question, and it was answered this way by a few people, wanted to highlight it here too. So this slide is one of two that is based on the questions when asked, what concerns do you have, or is there anything you feel is missing? And the question, anything else you would like to add? Those were grouped together just because the responses tended to theme together. So we heard from residents that while the plan has good intentions, it doesn't clearly explain how things will be achieved or by who or when. And they wanted more concrete, measurable steps and stronger action language. We also heard that some felt that too few residents were surveyed, describing the process as not reflective of the wider community and desiring more public engagement. Tied to this, there was also some comments about the reliance on Facebook and website for engagement and wanting more opportunities to learn about these opportunities. Residents also questioned the feasibility of the plan when it comes to financial resources, how it would be funded without removing existing services or increasing costs, which is definitely just a balancing act of how to implement these things. Several shared that the plan seems to reflect staff priorities rather than public input and asked for clearer measures of success and greater collaboration with the town and shared services. Some suggested that making the plan shorter and easier to understand with less reliance on consultants and long documents. And residents wanted stronger emphasis on protecting forests, wildlife, and coastal areas while expressing opposition to wind turbine projects. And others suggested that tourism should be a higher priority in this as well, so environmental tourism. Continuing on this list, this is the second part. We did hear feedback that highlighted the need for affordable housing, retaining healthcare personnel, having realistic healthcare goals, and then more infrastructure improvements such as ATV trails. So some saw this as being more of a short-sighted plan and wanted more inclusive and accessible models to learn approaches to addressing these infrastructure needs. There was also, similarly to the last one about financial feasibility, there was feedback about property taxation and concerns about the affordability, wanting stronger fiscal discipline and fair tax structures to support the growth and community investment. This theme remained strong with comments describing the process as a waste of time or municipal money. And so it's important to just know about the sentiment. When it comes to focus and prioritization, again, some respondents felt that the plan's focus was too narrow in prioritizing business attraction over community well-being. And they want to see a shift towards livability and diversifying the local economy. There's also connected to that a call for stronger attention to community safety, crime, and well-being, as well as preserving the local heritage and identity. And generally, there was a bit of a theme of just mistrust, where maybe the plan exists to appease the taxpayers or that the community voices will not truly be heard. So across all these themes, what we're taking away from it a lot is the need for trust and relationship building, but also the consistent call out of wanting to just see the actions that will exist as part of this plan. And so just keeping that in mind as we go through the councillor feedback. This feedback will be a little bit more specific in that it takes direct quotes. Where there were fewer responses, it's easier to highlight it in this way. And so when asking how well does this draft strategic plan reflect the community's needs and council's priorities, we saw really supportive alignment, where it was either completely or mostly aligned. There was only one pillar five, that we received a partially aligned selection. But other than that, all of the pillars councillors collected clearly aligns. When asked the general question, what, if anything, feels missing or needs more emphasis? These are just some quotes. So it's discussed at the meeting. Visuals of the municipality in Shelburne are extremely important, not of other municipal units. Should be noted that this is a multifaceted approach, which will include timelines. Need to ensure we have captured everything in the What We Heard report. Would like to have seen projects named by the public, like the hotel, a plant and solar farm. To make the plan operational, we need to focus on effective ways to inform the public of goals and objectives achieved, as well as informing incremental progress on all five pillars. More feedback from residents, and then there were a few grammar and phrasing feedback received as well as part of this question. So overall, before I go into kind of a slide on each of the pillars, there was generally a lot of support and alignment for the strategic plan based on the counselor feedback. There was a lot of, when asked about anything to change, we got a lot of responses that were no or not at this time, indicating satisfaction. Respondents also reinforced current actions that reflect their ongoing or planned work. And there was also a few responses about and having an appetite for ongoing community input and flexibility as this is part of the implementation process. On the other side of that, there were, consistent with the resident feedback, desire for more detail and clarity. Some comments requested more specifics about street lighting or housing needs assessment, construction and demolition services. Several comments also acknowledged in progress or parallel initiatives that are already happening, like climate committees or healthcare advocacy. And so because it's not at the detailed level of having the action items, it can seem like the things already going on may be forgotten, just because they're not represented in that. Similarly, a few questioned whether some actions were already completed or underway. I have a quote of, "I thought we already had this." Multiple respondents emphasized working with other municipalities and community organizations and other levels of government. And the feedback suggests a strong interest in tangible quality of life improvements. So it's a very high level overview. For each of the pillars, we kind of have this layout where you can see the feedback that we received in the quotes again. And so for the environment pillar, four counselors responded that the priorities and objectives under pillar one were very clear and achievable, and two responded that they were mostly clear and achievable. We did have four counselors who didn't share any further feedback on this. One had said to include street lighting review. Another had said that nothing should be removed. On the climate front, there's ongoing work through the Climate Resilient Coastal Communities Committee work, supported by the AIM Network. In addition, there's also the Shelburne County Climate Action Committee, funded by Clean Foundation, a provincial resource. We are well on our way to modernize our municipal fire services with a dedicated staffer. Nova Scotia Power will soon be presenting to council to provide information for our residents. For community, three counselors shared that the priorities and objectives were very clear and achievable, and three said mostly clear and achievable. When we asked if there's anything that should be added, removed, or revised, we heard, should a noise law bylaw be researched and considered? Should discussions be held with the town of Shelburne regarding a sidewalk to Roseway Hospital? Consideration of a dog park? Another quote was, always leaving room for suggestions. Healthcare is a priority, but we have no control other than to advocate. There's nothing to be removed from these key objectives. Globally, within the municipality and individually through our districts, we are advancing community pride initiatives with accessibility and inclusion. We are mapping out a path for the equity and anti-racism plan. We have more work to do on healthcare. We are advancing and looking for resources within the food and water security fronts. And then two respondents shared that they didn't have anything to share at this time. For pillar three, which is economy, similar as before, three counselors shared that it was very clear and achievable, and three said it was mostly clear and achievable. We did hear, so the quote that I mentioned before of, I thought we already had this, that was for a housing needs assessment to support decision making and guide land use planning. We heard that we want to promote the municipality as being open for business. And then we also heard the way our strategic documents are formulated, it's targeted and focused and pertinent to the pillars and objectives identified. Infrastructure, same as before, with the split between very clear and achievable and mostly clear and achievable. We heard the response doing much of it now to indicate lots of what's in the plan is part of ongoing or in progress work. Heard a comment to have Jordan Park looked at by comments from community. And in terms of services, the construction demolition sites remain a priority, a finding for affordable solutions, given the requirements of our residents for service and the fiscal challenges of the provincial regulatory framework. For governance, the same split as before between very clear and achievable and mostly clear and achievable. The feedback we received this time when asked about actions that should be added, removed, or revised. We heard that collaboration and strong partnerships with other municipal units, community groups, and organizations and all levels of government is vital to our overall well-being. And then for partnership with neighbors could result in being beneficial to all. There are five clear parameters with identified objectives. It is our responsibility to find government deficiencies through either an amalgamation or shared services. And this has been identified by council and this work will continue. The danger is the 4-year cycle as it pertains to elected representatives to find a common space of governance while maintaining each community's identity and unique needs is of prime importance to residents. And so I know I just talked a lot and probably too fast through all of the feedback that we heard. And so what we really want to do is talk through some of the changes that we made. And then when we present the strategic plan report, Elsa will also highlight changes I'm talking about now and where those were made specifically on the pages in the report. So these two big pieces came out, which were to improve clarity, build trust, and strengthen engagement. The community wants to understand how their input shaped the plan. And so what we did was to have this upfront section where we demonstrated the feedback that we heard both from residents and council and tried to be as specific as we could while still being mindful of time. And we're going to show you how we incorporated this feedback throughout the plan. We also wanted to make sure that all the feedback summaries that we have, plan updates, all of this will be publicly, I think is already currently publicly available on the MODS website. And we confirmed that residents are going to be engaged again during the budgeting process to sort of build that ongoing cycle and transparent link between priorities, resources, and implementation. And then the second major piece of feedback we got was to make the plan more actionable and measurable. Both residents and council asked for clear steps, timelines, examples, and accountability to understand how it will be delivered. And so to support this, we tried to clarify the phases of implementation to show when those actions and timelines, resources, and accountability measures, when those will all be made at the different steps. We also highlighted the core services provided by the municipality to describe what actions fall within the municipal responsibilities and what is on the outside. We also have an Appendix A, which actually summarizes all the potential action items that were identified through September's engagement sessions, council feedback, and best practice research. And so that is also publicly available and just serves as a sort of like a menu of options that may be decided on in the future. And so with that, we are going to pass it over to Ilse for the strategic plan walkthrough. And I'm actually going to have to change my screen while she's starting to introduce that a little bit.
Thank you, Grace. So one of the things you will notice as Grace will bring up the plan is last time you've seen this in a PowerPoint format, and we've really taken that content and really moved it into a public facing designed document. So it's no longer just conceptual, it's really the actual document that you get to see here today. The drawback of that is that it is a PDF, so things might look a little smaller as we are sharing things on the screen here. So please let us know if we at any point need to zoom in on something. So as we go into the plan, after the cover, you will find a space for a message from the warden. And so we included that, as typically strategic plans allow for the mayor, the warden, or senior leader to provide that context at the start of a document. And that message is really meant to set the tone for the plan, highlight key priorities, and demonstrating leadership commitment. And also, just by including this, really kind of like shows that personal perspective, makes the plan more relatable, and really signals that accountability for the plan too. So that's something that we reserved a place for. We can move down here, Grace. So after, we go to core services here. So something that we heard during the engagements were just like a lot of ideas, right? We welcomed all that input and feedback. People shared their ideas. But to really support clarity on what the municipality can directly address, we included this core services section here, which clearly outlines the essential services the municipality provides. So what this aims to do is really help set the foundation for the strategic plan, ensuring that transparency about what the municipality is responsible for. The six core services that we highlighted are corporate and administrative services. So the municipality oversees governance and provides strategic leadership, manages access to information, and handles customer service forms, requests, all of that. And really important component here too is the financial services. So that ranges from municipal taxation, revenue collection, financial reporting and budgeting, forecasting, to really like that long-term fiscal planning. And as we already heard from the resident feedback, right? There's lots of good ideas in the strategic plan, but how are you going to make this happen? What are going to be the resources that you're going to put behind this? And how are you going to make that work financially? So I think this is really something that is peace of mind, both for residents and council. Then economic and community development. So that's really the municipality's focus on land use planning, facilitating property and housing development, supporting local businesses, and really attracting that diversified and sustainable growth as well, right? So that's a core piece. Of course, there is also operations to ensure that things that are happening keep happening. And so that's maintaining existing municipal infrastructure, managing waste, enforcing bylaws, and conducting building inspections. Recreation is probably what many know the municipality for. It's that programming piece, really maintaining facilities as well as municipal trails that people enjoy, and delivering a variety of community recreation opportunities. And then lastly, very important, the protection services, right? So that's overseeing fire protection, emergency management, disaster resilience, but then also lay zoning with RCMP. So some really important services here. So that's everything that we included for core services. And then we have our mission and vision here. And so the vision statement defines the municipality's long-term aspirations, guiding decisions, and inspiring that action towards a shared desired future. And the vision that we shared was included during our last meeting on October 29th. So it was in that first draft version. And it's really an abbreviated version of the municipality's existing mission as outlined in the municipal planning strategy, which was published in 2025. And so in addition to that vision, we've also included the following mission to clearly state the municipality's ongoing purpose and role in serving the community, which we formulated as deliver services guided by responsible stewardship to promote sustainable growth. So it also, again, speaks to that balancing act that we've been highlighting here. our next section here is the approach. So in this section, we highlighted the approach taken to develop the strategic plan, including the key data points. And you've seen this as part of our presentation in October. So it's really highlighting that the plan is grounded in the municipality's organizational capacity. Again, thinking about those constraints as well, and incorporating then that input from residents, which we gathered through both the public session, as well as the surveys. I know we've talked last time quite a fair bit about the public engagement and the turnout there, but I want to highlight like it was the input from the surveys too, and then the input from staff and council. And then within that last time, we went over provincial and federal priorities as well, right? Like this kind of external context that a municipality operates in that's really important to consider, to align with, especially when we think about those funding dollars, including kind of like those best practices as well, all to ensure that we have a very comprehensive and realistic framework. So this isn't necessarily as new and part of the approach. What is new is that next page. And we strongly feel that this is an important addition. So this is what Grace mentioned, really where we wanted to highlight these stages of implementation. So after the first version was presented, council and residents asked for clearer steps, timelines, examples, accountability to better understand how the plan will be delivered. So of course, we've been thinking about how this can this be incorporated here. And there is the reality to that there are the existing budget processes. So we can't really put the cart before the horse here. So to all support us, we clarified the phases of the implementation to show when detailed actions, timelines, and resource decisions will be made. So really, when we look at this overarching process, there are these five steps. Our first step was that engagement and research piece that we, as David Pierre, were involved in and that we took on. The planning happening through spring and then moving into summer and September for that engagement. We're now in step two, which we're finalizing, which is about developing a framework by defining pillars, priorities, and objectives that will then guide the municipality over the next 4 years. So this is very much like the strategy level, the overarching level. And then moving down here, what we see is that after this plan is finalized, council will work with municipal leadership through its existing budget process to identify programs, policy, and services needed to really like achieve the objectives that were laid out in the strategic plan and make sure again that there is alignment with the available resources, right? How to optimize for the dollars that are available. So once those actions are set, there will be some clear benchmarks that will be developed, the KPIs, so that progress can be tracked and also can be shared transparently. Again, coming back to that desire for transparency, to build that relationship with community. And then as of April 1st, 2026, that's when the implementation of the plan will start. So that's all net new. We are currently in that second phase, this version that you're seeing today. We put the little yellow dot next to it. We are here, but of course, like the final version, we can remove that just so that, you know, this is a plan that people, once they look at it in the future, once you start implementing, that it's still relevant. So that really brings us to understanding the strategic plan. And so with that, we want to provide some clarifications here of these different definitions. So our first one being the pillars. So that's the highest level. Those are the five core elements of community that organize our area of focus that we talked about. And I want to highlight here, although they are numbered, and we went over this last time, really think of them as all working together collectively to create a space in which community can thrive. So They're not in a particular order there. Then under them sit the priorities. So those are the specific themes under each pillar. We have 2 to 5 per pillar that were identified through research and engagements to guide really that goal setting. And then under that are the objectives. So those are the specific results the municipality aims to achieve within each priority area. And objectives are set before actions to ensure clarity of the purpose, right? We want to make sure that we move with clarity, with purpose, and don't just like start to run off in a whole lot of different directions, but be really focused. So under that come our actions, and those are your tangible programs, services, maybe like your tools, like policies that you have, as well as practices that really like help you move towards those objectives you've set out. We recognize that resourcing is a big part of this as well. So ensuring that the municipality has both the financial resources as well as the staff capacity to deliver on those actions is part of that decision-making process as well when we think about feasibility. And then lastly, those key performance indicators, those would be the measurable values that really show how well the municipality is progressing towards an objective. It allows you to kind of track where you are versus where you were hoping to be. So that's also where some timelines will come in. So here at the bottom of the page, what you find is an example. There's a box around it saying example only to highlight kind of like what this can look like. So when you have a pillar one environment with a priority under it around climate initiatives, and the objective would be to update the climate action plan and map activities for implementation, then under that, there would be a specific action identified, specific resourcing, and specific KPIs. Now, these are just serving as an example. It will be up to council and municipal leadership to take this on as part of their budget process, which will be open to the public as well, to really make sure that you get to define these pieces under it. All right, our strategic pillars. So, you can see the layout very different from when you are in a PowerPoint. But when it comes to changes, there aren't much changes here. There's one change that I want to highlight, and that is 5.2. So that was changed from transparency to relationship building, as we really felt that it better communicates the actual objectives that are under this priority area, and that is really to create a relationship between residents and municipalities, right? Like a two-way street, and that is anchored in trust and accountability. That was adjusted. Otherwise, there are no changes here on this page. That brings us to pillar one. So pillar one, there are no changes compared to the version that you've seen previously. This is all the same. Where we get our first change is within pillar two. So that's our community pillar. And then within 2.3, community resilience, you see there this was like changed from support and advocate for local healthcare facilities and services to advocate for local healthcare services and promote workforce attraction based on the feedback from residents and counselors, really about that need to attract a healthcare workforce, as well as to really emphasize that the role of the municipality within this is really advocating more so than in a delivery role where the province is in charge of delivering the care. So that is our first change that we have on this page. And then the other one would be 2.3b. So this is net new, and that was added based on resident and councillor feedback regarding safety and bylaws. And as we were going through the plan, we didn't just like look at the feedback received and then just like, you know, incorporated it. At the end, we did another check to really make sure like, okay, are there gaps here? Are there things that we heard, whether it was like through the feedback or even like our initial engagements, where there have been gaps? And so one of those gaps that we found was that community safety piece. So what we formulated here is to advocate for community safety by collaborating with local RCMP and reviewing bylaws for effectiveness. So really ensuring that the municipality has the right tools as well to ensure community safety, especially as like from residents. We heard feedback specifically around crime and safety concerns. So that's captured there. That brings us to pillar three. So here we also have a new addition. This is in 3.1. So 3.1 is economic diversity, and C has been net new. This has been added based on council feedback. And what we formulated here is position the municipality as a business-friendly community through marketing and collaboration. And so really this idea that the municipality is open for business, communicating that more clearly, kind of like having marketing promotion around that as well. So we wanted to make sure that we captured that as well under that economic diversity umbrella. When it comes to pillar four, infrastructure, there were no changes here. One of the things that we did do also when we had the very specific examples was to see, like, can these actually fit? So when you as council come to this budget process on actions, will these actions actually be like having a place within this framework that we have provided, right? Like, is there actually a spot for it? So we felt that this was like providing sufficient room for some of the actions that could be considered. And then pillar five, governance. So 5.2, I want to flag again that wording changed, where the objectives have not changed, but what has changed is this umbrella of relationship building. And so that was adjusted here for this pillar. There are no changes here to the operational efficiencies. And then our last page is just a thank you page with kind of like your contact details. So that's everything that is in the strategic plan. We've submitted the documents, we've also submitted a document that really allows council to draw some inspiration from as you're heading into the budget process with potential actions. So it's capturing actions that were identified either to best practice research that were identified by members of the public. So also to ensure that we really want to make sure that that input does not get lost. So that can be as part of that process as well as councils. So we have submitted that as well as an Appendix A to this work, so that those can be a starting point for your budget deliberations. So we have a couple of questions for you, and overall what we would be really interested to hear from council today is whether you feel that the revisions in the second draft reflect the feedback and the priorities shared by council by council as well as residents, and if there is anything that you'd like the project team to adjust or clarify in the final version. So I'll hand it back to you, Warden.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. For me, I think, you know, there's a lot of really good constructive comments that we can act upon. So I appreciate those for sure. Any questions or comments for Ilsa or for Grace regarding this document? I'll start with our CAO and then go to my left.
I just wanted to quickly just talk about next steps. What you haven't seen here is the Appendix A, and what the Appendix A has done, it's taken a list of all of the action items that the council and the public have provided to Davis Pier. And next week, management are going to be sitting down, putting that into a spreadsheet. We're also going to be adding in our previous commitments from our previous budget deliberations, as well as putting in new items that management want to put in front of council. So you will have a full suite of possible actions. On December 9th, we meet with council. It'll be available to the public. The public can sit in on it. And it's going to be a very long meeting where council goes through each and every action item and decides if you want to give instructions to management to pull together high-level budget estimates for those when we come to the budget cycle. When we actually come to the budget cycle in January, we have our first meeting together. Management will have those high-level numbers next to all the ones that you've selected. During this process, management will be giving feedback to council in terms of resources, in terms of what our human resources are. You know, this December, when we get to January and you actually see the numbers will talk for themselves, right? And that's when you'll be making some more strategic decisions as to whether or not you can afford to continue with some of these objectives. So I just wanted to point that out in terms of what the next steps are.
Excellent. I think we're all very much looking forward to that session and to see that document. You know, that is definitely a huge part of this whole process moving forward. Mm-hmm. Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Thank you. So what our CAO just said is compelling and so spot on. It's what I've written down here in terms of budgetary implications. So if there was ever a working document, a living document, this is it. And so at every juncture, to have what our CAO said will guide us in order that we can achieve what it is that we have set out. I appreciate the tweaks in answer to the first question. I really do. And I just have something that I would like to, it'll take me about a minute, I think. I'd like to just read something that I've shared with some of our leadership just very recently on shared governance. I do believe it is our path forward. And from a school of public policy on community, and so there's an article entitled Community Engagement in Local Communities, Having the Voices of the, the voices of the public. You know, we know that our public are important to us. It was wonderful to see the turnout that we did have. And would we like to have had more? Of course. In this article, it states this, and this is the piece that I want to focus on. Although an Ipsos poll has revealed that just 20% of Canadians have ever engaged in community engagement, those who did said they saw it as a positive experience. The paper examines barriers to public engagement, including failure to reach people, time and place, can't read my own writing, NIMBYism, the problem of strong voices dominating and making others feel unheard. We know that these are all challenges. I think shared governance is critical in terms of going forward, and I really appreciate what our consultants have done, because the consultative process guided by professionals takes in not only residents, takes in not only engaged counselors, that also capture people who maybe that didn't show up at the public engagement sessions. You then bring so many additional layers that you've already stated. So your role is also very much appreciated. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Councillor. Yeah, just back to my first comment, I think we really had some very good constructive comments that were received. And again, I think this is all part of the process. And, you know, to echo your thanks, I think Davis Peer did a very good job for us. And, you know, we've got our meeting scheduled for December 9th. I really do hope that we will see some public who will come out and be a part of that.
No, when you're done, I'd just like to make one more comment.
Yeah, no, I'm just, again, looking forward to continuing the process. I mean, this is what this is going to guide us. So we're trying our best to get it as right as we can and be flexible. And yeah, appreciate all of the participation for sure.
Mm-hmm. So as Warren had just stated around the budgetary implications and that information that he's going to provide to council, sitting on those two climate adaptation committees, given this kind of framework, I'm going to be asking at that committee level, where are their budget implications for us, either as a positive or a barrier in order that we achieve our climate goals? And that's just one small committee.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that information that you've indicated that will be coming for us is critical. And so thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cool.
I just have one comment, and I just have a kind of a clarification question for myself. This is excellent. Totally think it's excellent. But I noticed, I just want some clarity. There was 25 of 97 completed. Does that include the surveys that went out? Just wondering, out of that 97, are the councillors involved in that 97? Or is it like 103 actual surveys? Because there was 25 said that it was completed, which is very interesting. And I just wondered.
Okay, Ilsa, yeah. Or Chris, for clarification?
Yes, I can jump in and clarify on this piece. And so the 25 out of 97 are resident responses to the survey based on the survey of feedback for the first draft. So it doesn't include the 70, I can't remember the exact number, 79, that might be a misquote, from the first survey that was gathering ideas. This is just residents responding to being asked about feedback for this. And the reason why it's separated out from council is because it was actually two slightly different surveys. The questions for council were a little bit more specific. And so compiling the data wouldn't be accurate in that sense. 25 out of 97 is a strange number that doesn't normally happen, I would say. And so there's a number of reasons why someone might start the survey but choose not to complete it. And it could just be that they opened the link and they weren't actually intending to complete the survey. That's a possible outcome, but it still records as a partially started survey on our end. So we did want to flag how many times you know, it was started, but 25 would be the number of times it was completed by residents.
Thank you.
Clarification. Anything further, Councillor Cool? Anyone else around the council table with questions or comments or answering the questions that are before us? Do you feel the revisions in the second draft reflect the feedback and priorities shared by residents and council? Is there anything council would like the project team to adjust or clarify in the final version? I'm satisfied personally. I'm not, but Deputy Warden, did you have a
question? Just a comment. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'm satisfied with the document. I expected more input from the residents, but that could be taken two ways, that people feel that what we're doing right now is acceptable and they didn't feel they needed to. I feel that there was lots of communication put out there and opportunities for people to contribute to this, and they chose not to. So we can't force people to come to the engagements, nor can we force them to take the survey. So we don't know what they were feeling, but for the people that did do it and come out, I thank them.
Great. Thank you. Anything further? Hearing none. Now, at this point, do we need a motion to approve the actual strategic plan? Yep. Okay.
I would so move that.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Poole, that the municipality of Shelburne approve the strategic plan as presented. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Seconded.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Anything further to discuss on this matter? Deputy Warden?
So now that it's presented and it's here on the table, any comments that come from the public now come to, how does it work, I guess?
What would be the process? Yeah. Oh, I'll get you to end up there.
Yeah.
CAO?
So that's it. I mean, you've approved the strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I can say is that when you move to the next phase of it, where you're actually selecting action items,
yeah,
the public can sit in on that meeting.
Yes.
And we have put in a time buffer after that so that members of the public can provide feedback to their respective counselors before their respective counselors meet again to confirm that. Is that correct, Darren? Or not?
We'll have our deputy CAO come forward as well.
I'm not sure of the exact dates and timelines. There will be an ad going out with those, but I believe the public feedback portion is incorporated into our budget process. Okay. So it would likely be like the February, March timeframe once we have more firm budget numbers in place.
Okay. And again, this is part of the overall process moving forward.
Yeah.
Councillor Richardson, did you have a question or comment?
Just a comment that, again, is that budget piece that is the very important one. Because we have a framework, we have to put costs and priorities assigned to moving forward in that budget piece. And that's going to be very important.
Absolutely. Thank you. Anything further? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Thank you, ladies, very much for all of your work on behalf of the municipality. It's greatly appreciated. And again, we're really looking forward as we continue on with this process.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your meeting.
Yes. Thank you. Enjoy your evening. Okay, we will move on to Operations and Protective Services, and that's Ms. Dion, Exterior Sign Design Choice.
So earlier in September, you saw the results of an RFP for exterior signage, and we awarded that to Auto Trim based on their submission. And we asked them to provide us with three designs to pick from. And those three designs are included as attachments to this staff report. They're labeled options 1, 2, and 3. The way that they were presented was they show a picture of the sign, give some of the specifications along the left side, and then they show a picture of other signs that this group completed that would perhaps be similar, and not so much the one you're seeing on your screen now, but the next two actually show some very similar signs that this group has produced for other units or other customers. So essentially we're looking for council to pick one of the options or to give us some feedback on what they'd like to see in this exterior sign.
Okay, I don't see anyone lit up right now, so I'll start. there wasn't any one option that really jumped out at me to say, gosh, I think we need to go with that. I liked, for me, I liked option one out of the three options, but I guess I'm wondering if there might be other options that we can consider as well. Like I said, none of the options presented really, for lack of a better term, really spoke to me. I didn't feel like they related to our municipal administration building. Like when I looked at, I think, option three, that was very rustic. And I just didn't feel the connection, I guess, to this site. I'll leave it at that. I just, none of them really spoke to me as, gosh, that's, we need to have that sign installed. I'm going to go to my far left and work back. Councillor Richardson.
for me, I prefer possibly is option one, but I'm not overly enthused about the picture. I would like it personalized. And when I say personalized, if that was a picture of Roseway Beach, Lewis Head Beach, we have several beaches in our municipality, and I think it should be reflective of one of those.
Sure.
Because when I look in the background, it leads one to believe the mountains or high land, which we don't have a whole lot
right.
in those specific beaches. So I guess to me, that would be a personalized approach, a different picture on the back. But I do prefer option one, I guess, with our own signature.
Thank you. And I forgot to mention as well, and maybe this is something that we'll discuss later, but lighting as well, I think, is very important. And whether they're like the kind of like the, oh my gosh, not the lamppost lighting, but anyways, attractive lighting so that, and maybe you've already thought of this, but I mean,
yes. So the light
that lit up in the at night, right?
Yeah. So the lighting is, it's detailed along the side. So it has LED and power supplies installed in the box. And what they talked about was having like an LED light that that was sort of built into the sign.
Okay. I'm just having an issue visualizing how it will actually look. At night, but thank you for that.
I think in most cases, those signs are usually the lighting emphasizes the sign, mm-hmm. not projecting out.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I was thinking, so that you would be able to read it.
Yeah.
Councillor Cool.
Of the options, my probably first choice was option one. But as I was looking at this during the meeting tonight, I looked up and saw our sign here. Mm-hmm. And I agree with Councilor Richardson, even if we have one, but we could take out the mountains and that because of the same idea. We're not full of mountains and things like that, and either have our own beach or just not have it at all, and even have the sign just as it is with what we have there with the administration building, Shelburne administration building and the address.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you for that, Councillor Thorburn.
Thank you. I also like the one that we're looking at right now, and I agree with what has been said. It's easy for us to put an image of a beach replacing this placeholder image right now. And as it refers to the image in the apex under the roof, same thing. And when you know that lighthouses are beacons, I think a lighthouse might be nice, like the Sandy Point Lighthouse, but that's just District 3. So that's just something I want to add. I'm putting a lot of thought into signage for the Welcome to Sandy Point sign. I think it's incumbent for certainly, there is a Mi'kmaq word for Sandy Point. So I saw in the PICTU that they had used the First Nations word. And so I really like that. And I think members of the community would as well. And then I know if it's Sandy Point sign, and I don't know how much it'll cost, but exactly at your point in terms of lighting, I don't know if there's a solar powered light that could go in the roof that could then at night power sufficient lighting to the sign. I think that's critical. Yeah. So I'm sure Marcia will have, you know, she's got lighting, you know, she's got that as part of her parameters and considerations, but yeah. Those are my thoughts.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I had to choose my option. I got more appealed to option three, which I'll be the odd man out. I like that on the side it says that the white lettering is raised. However, it is rustic, and with option one, it would be nice to have a local picture. I don't know what happens, Marcia, if we decide we don't like any of them. If we can go back to the drawing board and ask them to come back with something different. But to say that I was over enthusiastic over any of them, I really wasn't. So I'm just being honest. Thanks.
Yeah, I think to go back to them, because they did provide sort of a preliminary design with their original RFP as well. So really, it's kind of like their fourth kick at the can. So I think to go back to them without specific guidelines of what we're looking for, it wouldn't be in our best interest just to say, you know, we don't like what you came up with, change it. I think we need to maybe give them some firm guidance of, you know, we like this, this, and this, but sure. you need to give us a design that has this.
We're really hearing around the table, not any one in particular really sticks out, but there are components of the different ones that perhaps if we put it all together would make what we feel would be would be appropriate. I have Councillor Sutherland left to speak.
None of them really stuck out one of it. I think our sign should be indicative of all people of the municipality, not just the lighthouse. There's lots of farming, there's lots of forestry, the trees there, but it's just a suggestion.
Yeah. Anything else to express on these three options that have been provided? Councillor Richardson.
Not really to add, but to Marcia's point, maybe we need to go back with some specifics.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, if you allow me, maybe what we're hearing is we would like our own scene or beach scene, which I don't
think we all agree on that.
Unanimous, which it's a matter of we incorporate one or two, or which one do we pick to incorporate that into. Mm. That would be my take, and I would definitely like to see. I don't think that would be a difficulty, really. Yeah.
Their
graphics.
Yeah, and I liked what Councillor Poole had suggested as well. I thought was a good idea instead of looking up at what we have here in the council chambers. And to Deputy Warden's point about some of the, I think you had mentioned some of the letters being raised as well. So it kind of sounds like we're still all over the place on this. And maybe we just, you know, those are suggestions that we have. Is this something that bringing it forward to you that do, like, I don't know if we have the capability here in the office with our equipment to come up with something as opposed to going back and spending thousands of dollars to. For us to be able to bring something to the company that's doing this for us, I guess is what I'm kind of questioning. CAO, if that makes any sense at all.
No, that makes perfect sense. I don't think it would be a problem for us in-house to come up with a range of images to throw in front of council to see which ones are sort of triggering all of you.
That kind of resonating.
And then once we sort of pick one, then we can go back to the company and say, listen, this is really the mm-hmm. what council expects. I don't see that as a problem.
Okay. That council. Sorry.
I was just going to speak up to say that that would likely result in them requoting. So therefore the RFP process wouldn't sort of be followed in that case because they'd be requoting on something entirely different that, you know, we didn't give those design parameters to all proponents.
Okay. Well, not quite sure how we can handle that then, because I would say that no one around the table is satisfied with provided by them.
Perhaps it would be a new RFP.
Want to make sure that we do it right, get it right.
Yeah.
CAO, and then I'm going to go to Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Yeah, our RFP does allow us to back out, so we can do that and then do what Marcia suggested. We can go in for a second RFP.
So I think if it speaks to some of the standout letters, I think that's pretty easy. And in terms of images, I agree, the lighthouse isn't the only thing. And so there are, like, even we've got so many iconic beaches, so that's easy. We just choose one. And then on any rural scene, you know, what about our beautiful golf course or something like that at the top? You know, or if there's a rural iconic image, it speaks to rural and our coastal. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I do want to respond to that. If you remember, we have provided some funding to the Chamber of Commerce for signage when you come in to the municipality along the 103. They went with the concept of providing multiple images. And the challenge I have when I go past those signs is it's too busy and you just can't focus on any one.
Yeah.
I would recommend.
Be clear and concise.
I recommend you go for something simple and impactful. And I think we can come up with alternatives that you would like.
Thank you for that.
Perfect. What we can do stylized too, but we can do photographic. We can come up with options.
Okay, Councillor Cool.
I still go back to the sign up here.
Perfect.
That's perfect. But I like if we took the top off of that and put the colors of three into one into three with that, I think we have the sign.
I guess I don't get an opinion, but I sort of what Ron said is what I thought would look very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would. Councillor Richardson, you had something further?
Well, I was just going to make the point of the RFP. We were not specific on designs of the sign, if I remember correctly, or were we? Because we're talking about minimal adjustment on there, and I would suspect that the proponents wouldn't have a problem if it's just a simple graphics in the background. It's not cost prohibitive. That would be my take.
And we can certainly look into that once I come up with sort of a list of specifics. I've made a few notes here during the meeting. So some of the notes I made is that council suggested they'd like more prominent lighting and they'd like to have the standout letters to replace the photographic scene with something local.
Yeah, Councillor Sutherland, I think, has another comment as well to make, or suggestion.
Is there any other alternative than wooden post that will have to be replaced at some point?
Certainly, it's my
opinion.
The original RFP, I believe, had metal posts, their original submission.
Okay, yeah, we're looking at the first one here now. Okay, who would have thought this would be so difficult? Councillor Cool, did you have something further to add?
Going back to this is that if we take option three, stick option one, a municipality Shelburne to 414 in that place, that color, I think that's what you have right there.
Which color are you referring
to? I'm talking about the color of option one into option three. Take the beach out, take all that, and just like the CAO said, don't over just that, just put it what we are there. And I think that'd be a perfect picture. It'd catch, it's not over. It's not too busy. That.
Yeah, you can actually.
And this is just, wow, that's a municipal office, nice color.
Yeah.
I think that is perfect.
Can we go back to option two just for a moment, please? Are you saying that color, Councillor Cool?
Basically, I like the color of one, but I like the shape of two. But take out the beaches and take out the mountains and just leave what we got right there.
Yeah.
I think we have the perfect sign.
Yeah, I like the color of two, actually.
Because I think
that's the ocean.
The color of one is more highlighted than the color of three. Although I like the rustic, but the thing is that having it there, that's what I would think.
CAO and then Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Yeah, I personally, sorry, it's not my decision, but I'm just gonna give my feedback.
Appreciate your feedback.
Yeah, I don't like any of the designs either. But one of the thoughts I had was, and if you're looking at a beach lower down, if you have the beach part of it very, very lower down in the image, and maybe even, let's say, the lighthouse on the side with sky basically being most of the background, that provides you a light background then to put in your words of municipality of Shelburne administrative building and your address with the sort of the light sky in the background. You've got a beach underneath, maybe the lighthouse on the side, something like that. Something to think about.
Something that we also need to think about is because we've received funding through the Enabling Accessibility Fund for this project, the signage has to meet the accessibility standards. So the colors actually have to have the contrast that's needed for the accessibility standard. Sure. So that's one of the factors in this.
Okay. Councillor Thorburn.
And as it relates to signage, in terms of what Paula had said, our sign is going to be PVC encased. So the pillars will be PVC coated. So you never touch that again. With finials, I should say, on the top. So that's easy.
That's something that we
consider
for sure. Okay, do we have something based on what's been discussed here now between the CAO and Dion? Do we feel that you have enough to go on to bring something back?
I need a little bit of clarity on what it was that Ron just said that everyone was agreeing with. I didn't really catch it all.
Okay, I like the shape of option. Hold on, one. Can you like?
I can't hear him. I don't think you have your mic on, Ron.
Sorry.
Oh, there he is.
I like option number three, signage as far as the shape.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to take what's on number one and put it there, cut out the mountains, cut out the beaches, leave it with just who we are and what our image is. Because people, if they start seeing, and I understand lighthouses are here and everything else is here, but that's not what they look at. They look at, when they see that sign, they know it's the municipality.
Can we say from ocean to forest? What do you see?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
You see the tree there.
Yeah.
I think we should continue with that.
I do like the
color of option two, I would say. With the blue green, but again, to Ms. Dion's point, you know, we have to ensure that it, well, we should be making sure that it meets those requirements regardless of the funding. But thank you for reminding us of that too. Councillor Richardson and then Deputy Warden.
I promised the last intervention. I think we need the lettering of the municipality of Shelburne to be very prominent.
Yes.
Because there's been quite a bit of pushback on using our design of just Shelburne, and we are automatically, oh, you're from the town of Shelburne.
Yep. Yeah.
So in that, it should have, and if we look at option one, that municipality is very light and it would be lost in there.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, remind people that in thinking of what's across the road, they have a covered sign already. If we went with the covered sign design, it probably would be lost.
Yeah, I'm not one for the cover.
No, but that being said, hopefully that's some clarity, but please, the municipality is very prominent letters in that.
Okay. Thank you for that. Last word, Deputy Warden.
So I just want to make the comment that we waited a long time for this building, and we're pretty proud of what we got here and worked hard for it. We need a sign that's appealing to people coming by and saying, there it is.
Yeah. So. Thank you for that great closing comment. Anything further, CAO? You and Ms. Dion are good with what we've discussed? Okay. Clear as mud. Thank you very much for that. Really appreciate the work that went into that, for sure. Thank you. We're going to move on now to administration. 7A, Heritage Properties Bylaw Amendment, second reading, and that's Ms. Hartley. Okay.
So the first reading of the Heritage Properties Bylaw Amendment was held on October 22nd. The bylaw was advertised after that first reading on our Facebook website and in the newspaper as per MGA requirements. Written submissions were open until this morning at 9 a.m. and none were received. All requirements have been met to hold the second and final reading, which is recommended for this evening. And there is an attached motion for your consideration.
Okay, thank you for that. Stated, there is a prepared motion if someone would like to make that. Deputy Warden?
I'll make the motion. It resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne gives second and final reading to the attached Heritage Properties Bylaw as amended.
I'll second it.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on this motion? I think it's pretty straightforward. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. And just remember to put your mics on because we're being recorded so everyone can hear the aye. Or nay, whatever way you vote. Moving on, thank you for that one. Moving on to Heritage Advisory Committee Terms of Reference and Council Appointments.
Okay. In relation to the previous item, the municipality is mandated to have a heritage property bylaw and then a committee responsible for the matters outlined in the province's Heritage Property Act related to municipal heritage properties. A draft terms of reference has been attached for council review, and it is consistent with our other committees of council. This committee will consist of two councillors and three members of the public, and meetings will be held approximately twice a year. And then we do have a draft recommendation included for your consideration for this one as well.
Okay, so who would like to be part of the Heritage Advisory Committee? Anyone wishing to be on that committee? Councillor Richardson, are you?
I would nominate Bruin.
Okay, Councillor Cool, you're interested? Any others?
Be interested in serving.
Okay, thank you. And we need also an alternate. Yeah. Okay, so we have Councillor Cool who's interested and Councillor Thorburn Irvine. Anyone interested in being an alternate? I will sit as alternate if no one else is interested. Okay. Someone like to make the motion for the Heritage Advisory Committee?
Sure.
Councillor Thorburn Irvine?
Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne approve the attached Heritage Advisory Committee Terms of Reference, and that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Ron Cool and Councillor Sherry Thorburn Irvine as municipal representatives and Warden Penny Smith as the alternate on the Heritage Advisory Committee.
Thank you. It's been moved. Can I seconder? Can I seconder first? We have a mover. Is there a seconder? Thank you. Councillor Richardson, discussion on the motion?
I just wanted to know this point of order just for the sake of it. And it's nothing against me or Sherry or you. Can we move this motion if we're in it?
You can, but it is advised that someone else make the motion if possible.
Yeah,
but it doesn't
so legitimize it. To affect it.
No.
If the councillor who is part of this motion has moved it.
Exactly.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure.
So we're good with the mover and seconder?
Yeah.
Okay. Discussion on the motion. Were there any questions on the terms of reference as well?
I think
Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
I think it's great that we've included three positions for the public. It's really good.
Great. Thank you. Deputy Warden?
Nope. I'm just getting ready.
Okay. Anything further on this motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. And thank you, Councillor Cool, for that really a point of order to check that, to ensure that we're doing things correctly. Okay, thank you for that, Ms. Hartley. We're going to move on to correspondence. First item is 8A, Lee Thorburn Ree letter of support request for Green Crab Mitigation Initiative. CEO, did you wish to speak to that?
No, I think the letter speaks for itself. I mean, Lee Thorburn Irvine's asking for support with regard to participating in this program for harvesting green crab, which is an invasive species within the area. And from my perspective, from staff, I would be all in favor of supporting or recommending that you support that.
Great. Thank you. And the reason why I asked the CAO to speak to it, because I believe you had a conversation with Mr. Thorburn as well regarding this matter. Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. And I believe we have in our package as well the draft letter. We can just bring that up. Were there any questions, comments, concerns about the letter? The body of the letter? Well, of course, fill it in the top. Anything there that causes concerns or anything?
You need a motion that's sent.
I don't think we do for a letter of support requests, just consensus around the table. Councillor Thorburn Irvine, did you have a question? No?
Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So that letter will be sent. Moving on to 8B, Councillor Anthony Gosby, re-letter of resignation. Very sad to have received that. Councillor Gosby was a great member of this council and for us, a wonderful colleague as well. And he continues, I'm sure he will continue to do good work in the community. And we do, I believe, and I'll look to the deputy CAO, we do need a motion to accept his resignation. If someone would like to make that, please. Councillor.
I would move that with regret.
Thank you. Second. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. And of course, the deputy CAO, I believe, will be the lead on the by-election that will take place. And further information will be made available once you have the discussions with the appropriate people. All right, we'll now move on to committee reports and warden update. Any committee reports for this evening's meeting? Councillor Richardson.
The last letter that we put out brought to my attention that maybe we have an update, or have we been updated on the Roseway River removal by Nova Scotia Power? That Mr. Thorburn, we had supported it being remedied back to river frontage. And Nova Scotia Power has been in that process for quite a long time, but I guess we haven't been updated per se.
No.
No, we haven't received an update.
No. And gosh, that's been quite a while ago, hasn't it, Councillor Richardson? They were doing work there.
And if it's possible, maybe on that note,
we could reach out for sure.
And just have an update from Nova Scotia Power, what stage we are at.
Okay.
It'd be interesting to find out the results of that. And actually, I think it would have behooved them to respond to us and say that it had been accomplished.
Really. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Thank you for that, because I think that's the prudent thing to do in terms of hearing back from them. But I thought there was some positive resolution, so it'll be good to get that officially confirmed. And I don't have much to add, just that the NSFM Lunch and Learns, but I don't know that it's NSFM, is it? Is it the province that does the Lunch and Learns? Anyways, I attended the one on climate change and on air quality, so it was good. And I think it's a great opportunity to update us on important things that matter to us.
Excellent. Deputy Warden?
Just an update that on November 14th, I attended the Black Loyalist ceremony for the number 2 Construction Battalion monument reveal. It was recognizing 15 members that served on that from the Shelburne area. It was a very, very nice ceremony. Yeah, it was lovely, to be honest. I was very pleased to attend and be part of that.
And I know that they appreciated council being represented there as well. So thank you very much for being there.
Yep. And on November 18th, I did attend the 35th Blessing of the Fleet in District 6, as Councillor Cool couldn't attend. So I attended on his behalf to be there in West Green Harbor. And that was on the 18th of November.
Hey, thank you for that. Any others? Okay, so on November 13th, I'm just checking my planner here to make sure I have my dates right. We did have an economic growth committee meeting, and that was a very good meeting. There was good discussion there, I feel, and really looking forward to the work that will be done by that group. Friday, November 14th, we had the a tree lighting event at the Fenning Cove Wharf. Really well attended, and I know Councillor Thorburn Irvine, there was a wonderful tree lighting in your district as well, and I'm not sure if there was one in Ingomar or not, but they're happening all over the place. And there was actually there was a resident who had stated kind of what Councillor Thorburn Irvine had mentioned, I think, a year ago, about how wonderful it would be if we could just somehow do some sort of a tour event of these tree lighting events that are taking place throughout, whether it's, you know, the eastern end of the county or throughout Shelburne County. I mean, there'd be a lot of logistics involved in trying to make that work probably. But anyways, just to your point, there are residents who are thinking along the same lines. So on November 18th, I attended a meeting that was held by the Dalhousie Leadership / Faculty of Medicine site visit. And there were about 25, I think, in attendance there. And it was so interesting. When I first walked in the room, I could hear two separate conversations and Shelburne being mentioned. So it was a wonderful opportunity to talk about Roseway Hospital. And one of the doctors stated, you know, you are on our radar. So I'm hoping that we'll see some positive things happen in the near future. And CAO, I know with our community coordinator and others involved, that there's been a huge amount of work being done by staff here when it comes to physician recruitment and retention, and just a thank you to them as well. And that was acknowledged at this meeting too. So, and let's see here. And then on Friday, November 21st, we had the Blessing of the Fleet at the Gunning Cove Wharf. And that was really well attended. People really love to come out for community events like that. And again, I look to Councillor Thorburn Irvine, because I know that you had a wonderful event as well. And I believe Deputy Warden and Councillor Sutherland had attended that. Those are really important for us to be a part of and to acknowledge. And then, of course, Dumping Day, Monday, the 24th. As far as I know, everything went well for everyone. So that's wonderful news. I mean, we all, with everything else going on, and just, you know, it's a morning that there's a lot of anxiety and excitement and nervousness and all of those types of feelings. But most importantly, we just want all of them to come home. So, yeah, so I'm hearing good things. So fingers crossed, it'll be a successful season for everyone. And let's see. And then today, of course, we had a meeting with our Minister of Municipal Affairs and his staff. And I think that went really well, gave us an opportunity to talk about the different issues that we're facing as a municipality and really as a community as a whole. So very happy that that we were on the list for the tour, which I guess all of us are.
I'd like to just make a comment on that. When I look back and I think about that meeting, the biggest take-home value in that was our minister saying, the needs that our CAO expressed in terms of infrastructure and the electrical grid.
Bang on.
Bang on. Hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
He's aware.
Yeah.
Yep. It's really good.
Yeah. And of course, the desire for all of us to be partners municipally, provincially, and federally, that's huge. Don't consider us a stakeholder. Consider us a partner. And I think that message was very clear and well received. Okay, Councillor Richardson.
And not to belabor the point, but I thought it was astounding that it has not been raised by other parties. When you think we're just one of the few in Southwest Nova that are limited in those possibilities.
Oh, with the power grid?
Yes, it's just astounding that others, other councils and so on, and maybe that's something that could be reached out to through the group that you meet with once in a while, Ocean's 11,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I think on a staff level as well, CAO, it's been discussed. I'll just get you to.
Yeah, sorry. We've talked about it at the Southwest AMANS meetings, and we've talked with Western Wren about it as well. They're all aware of it. I don't know how much the councils are aware of it, but the staff level is very much aware of it, and we are working on trying to be part of an upcoming meeting between Nova Scotia Power, Department of Natural Resources. With regard to a possible power infrastructure project, we know nothing about it, so we're in the dark right now. So hopefully, we'll find out soon.
I was just going to make a suggestion and possibly any conversations we have with neighboring municipal units from here to Digby, maybe we should extend the conversation to make sure that councils are aware of that.
Yeah, I would assume that the clerks and or CAOs are providing that information to their council, but I don't know.
The upcoming meeting, I've requested that all of the Southwest CAOs be part of that.
Mm.
And they've said, yes, we'll invite all of you. So after that, it's up to them to talk to their councils. Yeah.
Okay, Councillor Thorburner.
Just to reiterate again, there is strength in numbers, and this is a prime example of need. And so it feels like, you know, we're on the cusp of being able to advance something. I mean, the multi-million dollar aspect of all this is what it is. But, you know, on the federal scene, they're key to be looking at infrastructure projects. And so.
Well, yeah. It's a key component.
Do you think so, Councillor Sutherland? Forward. Yeah, that's good. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Anything further before we adjourn? Hearing nothing further, we will adjourn at 7:42 p.m. And thank you all.